Could you just not let me enjoy this moment of not knowing something? I mean, it happens so rarely. Does anybody know who said that? Probably not, but you will know who I'm referring to. Well, some of you will. That's the 12th iteration of Doctor Who. And that is from Season 8, Episode 9. Peter Capaldi, who plays Doctor Who in Season 8, is the Doctor. And let me read that again. Could you just not let me enjoy this moment of not knowing something? I mean, it happens so rarely. The Doctor. He can't give you a prescription because this doctor is actually an alien from another world, another dimension. He's actually what they refer to in the show as a Time Lord. He travels through space and time to fight evil. All we know about this character, of his name is Doctor Who. Their actual name is a secret. And when they die, they can regenerate into a new form. Well, 13 different actors have played the Doctor to date. Doctor Who travels with a series of human companions, but is actually not human, though they may look like one. In order to understand the words coming out of fans' mouths, we need to know at least a few pieces of the show's lingo. For example, that blue police box, the call box, the quote-unquote phone booth, is actually the TARDIS, T-A-R-D-I-S, which stands for Time and Relative Dimension in Space. I mean, you all knew that already, right? It's a ship that travels through time and space. And while it's meant to blend in with its surroundings, it's been malfunctioning for about 60 years now. So it's been stuck on the phone booth for every iteration of the season, or the TARDIS, excuse me, the police call box. Now, you UK people out there, don't chastise me for calling it a phone booth. The Doctor's other gadget is the sonic screwdriver. We don't need to go into detail about that. And then there is a Dalek. Now, a Dalek is an alien creature having survived a nuclear apocalypse, must now live inside a robot, and they are bad. That's pretty much, I've given you everything you need to know about Doctor Who. Well, I really just want to draw back to the quote from the Doctor. I mean, allow me this rare opportunity to have a moment where I don't know something. Well, I can't say that many people enjoy a moment of not knowing what to do. Actually, not knowing something can send us into a panic. It can draw out of us self-medicating tendencies. It can draw out of us self-defensive character traits, such as withdrawing, isolation of oneself, or the opposite, becoming overbearing, overpowering with a kind of, I'm going to fake it till I make it, attitude and strategy. Have you ever been in situations like this? Now, did I ever show you my ping pong trophy? Well, not to rub it in a whole lot to Mark Richardson, who might be out there in internet land, but I beat Mark in my final year of studies to capture the Tournament of Thorns Divinity College ping pong tournament. Now, I may have said something along the lines of, I'd like to announce that I'm retiring as champion. Anyways, the first 2 years of school, I met Mark in the final. And every year, he would get me right around 19-19, knowing the score is to 21 and you have to win by 2 points. And then somehow he would always win 21-19. Well, that was until our final year at school, and I finally beat him to win the Tournament of Thorns, right? And I remember his paddle flying in the air, and I think it's because he was so covered in sweat because I made him run around the table so much. After a hard-fought three-set match, I was hailed as champion. Well, truth be told, there is actually another part to that story. Huh, go figure. That's not at all how I started at ping pong. My ping pong career started much differently. You see, in grade 8, my school decided that they would have a big school-wide ping pong tournament as part of the extracurricular activities that year. And I thought to myself, well, how hard could it be? I had actually never played ping pong before. But that didn't stop me from putting my name on that list, on the sign-up sheet, down in the gym. And when my big brother wasn't looking, I snuck his ping pong paddle that he had bought in his first year of university, I snuck it out of the house in my kit bag. Don't tell him. I remember it quite vividly. Word had gotten out at the school. Bud's got his own paddle. He must be good. Well, you know, I actually started to believe that myself. I might actually be able to pull this thing off. You know, I'm going to fake it till I make it. Wrong. Matt Burke, who's a fantastic young man, by the way, he beat me 7-0 in my very first match, and that was the end of my ping pong tournament. That was the end of my ping pong prowess in junior high, as a matter of fact. It was all great until the ball started bouncing back at me. Well, today we're going to take a look at a man who doesn't end well. Now, I've said this many times over the course of pastoral ministry in many different places, in New Brunswick, in Nova Scotia, and also in Ontario here in the Ottawa Valley. God desires for you to finish well. He wants you to leave all that other stuff behind you. He wants you to finish well. Now, what does Jesus tell us in Matthew 6, verse 33? He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He's talking about his heavenly Father, God. He's saying, but seek first God's kingdom, seek first God's righteousness, and all the other things will be given to you as well. Seek him. Look for him. When you get up in the morning, start your day with him. Every day, in every way, in every circumstance, seek him. And all these things will be given as well. Joy, peace, patience, hope, love, blessing upon blessing will be given to you as well. Now, before we get off on a tangent and go way down that road, now we need to understand a couple of things here. As we might just want to read into this that God is the blessing bot, and we just need to tune our TARDIS into his frequency to unlock the blessings. You know, the blessings of the beach bod and the bursting bank account. Well, the Holy Spirit would be very quick to remind us the words of Jesus in John 16:33, when he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. but in this world you will have trouble. Take heart. I have overcome the world." Well, during Asa's 40 years plus of reign in the southern kingdom of Judah, he had trouble. After enjoying 10 years of peace and establishing a formidable force of more than 500,000 men, Asa and the people of Judah were threatened by foreign powers and an army that vastly outnumbered Judah's. You know, when we read this in these chapters 14, 15, 16, we read this story and the account of some of these things that happen, and also in the book of Kings. Initially, though, in his reign, he sought to seek the Lord. We read that he removed the things that were drawing them further and further away from the Lord, and the people of God had found favor. And we read that the king had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And we can't take that away from King Asa. It does say in Scripture that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And they had enjoyed a time of peace, but now something was stirring and trouble was on the horizon. Actually, quite a significant issue was arising on the horizon. A massive army that vastly outnumbered them. Well, here's the first part. God puts us in circumstances where we have to rely on him. God puts us in circumstances where we have to rely on him. Asa's only play, other than complete surrender or complete slaughter, was to go to the Lord. Now, there's a twofold blessing in this situation with King Asa. Drawing close to the Lord earlier in his reign prepared a way for him to see how much he needed the Lord. So it wasn't just that God had brought this into his life. It's that God had been preparing him, and as Asa had drawn himself and the kingdom closer to the Lord, they had eyes to see and ears to hear their need of him. So that is a real twofold blessing. Drawing close to the Lord prepared a way for him to see how much he needed the Lord. Well, what happens in the life of a believer when we draw closer and closer to Jesus? Well, when we experience more and more of God's presence in our heart and our life, that's when we begin to understand the words of this old hymn. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's sword, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord? You know, it's not that we become more needy or that life with the Lord means trouble, trouble, toil, and trouble. But what it does mean is that I begin to understand just how much I need him in my life. You know, the sunflower, when it comes up and it begins to create that beautiful head, that beautiful face, do you know what a sunflower does every day? Is it begins its day by pointing to the sun. And then throughout the day it does this, it follows the sun. It's quite incredible. And someone who has prepared an environment within themselves to be sensitive to their need of the Lord experiences that in their life. And they know that in every circumstance, in every way, they need to be looking to him and seeking his face. And it's not that we become more needy. And it's not that it means the closer we get to the Lord, the more trouble comes our way. It just means we begin to understand just how much we need him. Now, if I am left to my own devices, I will be headed for a 7-0 skunk of mythic proportions every time. Asa and the people of God needed God. They realized this because they had begun a process of repentance, humbling themselves, seeking the Lord, and crying out to him. They prayed. Boy, oh boy. Listen to this prayer. Listen to Asa's prayer. Then Asa called to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, there is no one like you. There is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. Lord, we rely on you. Now, maybe your battle isn't a million-man army, but because of a downturn in the economy, your company was $1 million in the hole, and as a result, you find yourself unemployed. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills if you don't help me get another job. I'm going to rely on you, Lord. I trust you. Well, look at what the Lord does here in this passage through his people. They defeat their enemies, and the kingdom finds lasting peace. But in the midst of the celebration, a word of the Lord comes to Asa through the prophet. Now, here is this twofold blessing again. Asa, the Lord will be with you, Azariah says. Asa, the Lord will be with you while you are with him. In other words, as you draw close to the Lord, he will draw close to you. If you seek him, Asa, he will be found. Now, I need us to notice in this context that Azariah is not saying this. So, Asa, go about your life. Don't worry about a thing, but if trouble ever comes, you know where you can turn. That is not at all what the prophet is revealing to Asa today. He is actually referring to a daily, continuous heart event and posture. Stay close to the Lord. Every day, seek him and find him. This is a present, continuous process. So God puts us in circumstances where we have to rely on him. God also asks us to stay close to him. Azariah speaks the words of God to Asa. O king, you will not experience this kind of victory if you are far away from the Lord. So we read that Asa goes as far as removing temple prostitution. We read that he gets rid of the Asherah poles where the prostitutes would do their things. And even one that was significant to his own grandmother. And in the account, we read that he cuts it down and he burns it in the Kidron Valley. And then he relieves his own grandmother of her royal duties and position. Well, what does that tell us about Asa? He took it seriously. He took the words of the prophet very seriously. He didn't want trouble to come and war to rage in his kingdom. He wanted to be at peace. And so he dealt with things. He took it seriously and he sought to remove any family ties to sinful pagan idol worship. He didn't just look at others and say, hey, you need to straighten up. You need to stop doing that. He even looked within his own heart and his own family. And they took care of things. We also need to remain close to the Lord if we want to see God at work in our lives. If we don't take that seriously, we run the risk of the consequences for walking away from God's design for our lives. So, how do I stay close to the Lord? Talk to him. Talk to him every day. Read his word regularly. Well, how should I do that? Well, get a Bible. Do you own a Bible? Get a Bible. Do you have a phone? Get the app. Get the Bible app. Well, what translation should I read? The one that you will actually read. Ask the Lord for what you need to be able to do this. Now, that will come in different ways. God will bring people into your life that can help you with that. God will give you gifts of the Holy Spirit to help you to be able to do that. But God will also show you if there's anything that needs to be dealt with. A confession, a commitment, or something that needs to be cut out of your life. Now, Jesus tells us in Mark 9:47, now, don't go home and do this, at least literally. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Now, don't go home and poke out your eye. But you may need to start a conversation with someone that you trust about what you consume online or how you treat others, or what you spend your time, your energy, and your money on. Those are the Asherah poles and the high places of our day. So, Asa does some really good things. Although we read that he never really gets rid of all the pagan worship in his time as king, he does some really good things to the point that the temple treasury is restored. So to speak, he's prayed up and he's paid up. But something subtly happens over his tenure of peace in the nation. And they enjoy a wonderful time of peace. Well, God will bring circumstances into your life to draw you closer to him. He wants you to stay close to him. And here's the danger of experiencing the blessing of closeness with the Lord. We read that Asa really relies more on the blessings than he does on God. Essentially, what happens is that the northern kingdom blockades trade with Judah. Now, King Baasha in the north fortifies the border and threatens both peace and the economy of Judah. Well, what do we know, like in our own societies, that when the economy is bad, actually crime actually increases. And poor folks around our region have been losing their Toyota Highlanders and RAV4s and BMWs and Mercedes right, left, and center. So peace and the economy of Judah are both threatened. So what does Asa do? Well, instead of going to the Lord with this, he takes matters into his own hands and essentially bribes King Ben-Hadad of Aram Well, we read the plan works. And Baasha is defeated and the kingdom can rejoice. The border opens and the trade continues and the economy is stabilized. But the prophet Hanani comes to Asa and reveals to the king that because he did this without seeking the Lord, he would experience wars and trouble the rest of his life and the rest of his days. Now, based on what Asa has been through, the incredible work of God in his life and in the kingdom, and thinking back to stories of how he drew close to the Lord and they experienced peace, you would think it would be a no-brainer for Asa and he would just go right to the Lord. You would think he would repent and humbly come to the Lord and seek his face. No, he gets angry. We read that he imprisons the prophet and he oppresses his people. Now, presumably because the people had heard the words of the prophet and they probably believed the prophet. The words of the prophet, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. It sounds in the text that God had much bigger plans for how to deal with the king of Syria and the king in the north. But we'll never know. Imagine what plans God has for his people in Canada. When we rely on him, we experience just what those plans are. They are more than we can imagine, actually. His promises are beyond what I could ever bribe myself with. When does this happen? When does what happened to Asa, when does that happen in the life of a human being? Well, when times are good and easy, when everything is going right, we can easily ignore the Lord and flex our own spiritual muscles to get through this. Now imagine, Pastor Bob, imagine like we've got some serious decisions to be made. And I came in the room and said, oh, don't worry about it. I got this. I'm the ping pong champion. Don't worry about it. I got this. I mean, how hard could it be? I should have put that on my resume now that I think about it. Maybe I wouldn't have even had to have candidated. I don't know. Maybe you just would have just brought me in. Oh, ping pong champion. Oh, well, good heavens. Sounds pretty ridiculous, doesn't it? What we can do and what God can do in comparison, it is ridiculous. To think that somehow I'm going to flex my spiritual muscle, somehow I'm going to exhaust my vast resource. Notice what he does as well. He takes from God what is God's to do what he wants. Oof. What does Jesus say about that? Jesus says, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar, but to God what is God's. We need him. We need him on the mountain and in the valley. Mountains and valleys are created to work together. They work together for your good always. Now, unfortunately, Asa, whose name means doctor or healer, doesn't finish well. He lets pride, arrogance, and ignorance lead him to the grave. We read that at the end of his reign, he is finally afflicted with a foot ailment. And once again, instead of going to the Lord, he seeks to find a solution on his own. Almost to say, physician, heal thyself. As a result, his ability to stand was impeded and probably not possible. I can't help but think that God had allowed this as a last-ditch effort to get him to kneel and repent and find restoration. You know, the Apostle Paul says that for the believer, we put on the armor of God each day, and in particular, our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace on our feet every day. You know, Jesus wants to wash our feet. He wants us to wash each other's feet. Jesus wants to care for our feet. He wants to strengthen our feet. He wants to equip our feet. He wants to equip them with the readiness of the gospel, the great news of salvation through Jesus. Just like Asa, we cannot heal ourselves. God can. God will. That's a standing promise if we will trust him and rely on him. He can and will do everything so that we can finish well. That's a promise because he is the great physician. He is the divine doctor. Come to him and be healed. Heavenly Father, watch over us, Lord, now. Don't allow the evil one to stick his foot in the door. Don't allow him to speak, Lord. Give us a fresh vision of Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to show us, to reveal, and to lift him high. Father, we need him. We need him. More than anything else, we need him. Father, help us to lay aside our trophies, our treasures, and may we come and kneel at his feet. And may we hear him say, "Stand, rise, you are my child. Be blessed. Follow me. Stay close to me. And find rest for your soul." Father, over the next number of weeks, as we delve into repentance, humility, seeking your face, and Lord, talking with you, help us, Lord, to draw even closer. Help us to see our need of you. And Lord, continue that work of blessing us in ways that we could have never hoped or imagined. We pray this in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray wanting to finish well. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.